Welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Today, I am excited on today's podcast, we have a special guest, and that guest is Anasuya Basil. She supports midlife women to overcome the struggles of aging so that they feel terrific in their bodies and can express their skills and wisdom with confidence. She has been a practitioner and instructor for over two decades and holds certifications in holistic nutrition, acupressure, and craniosacral therapy. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning, Erica. This is Esther Szabo, and I am doing wonderful, and I'm so glad to have Anasuya here with us. How are you doing today, Anasuya?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here with both of you.
Wonderful. What are we talking about today? I think I'm just going to kind of sit back and listen to you two, because before the podcast, we had a chance to just talk a little bit, and the things that you're going to be talking about today are absolutely fascinating to me. So I know that I'm going to learn a lot, but what are we talking about today so the audience knows?
Well, what we're talking about is really how nutrition and biochemistry support really good decision-making during transition. Obviously, with my podcast, we talk a lot about the technical aspects of financial management, personal financial management during transition. But I strongly feel that there's to be successful, it requires a holistic approach, incorporating not just the mind and decision-making there, but also good health, mind, body, and spirit. And my experience with Anasuya is that she helped me so much during my time of transition when I lost my husband in somewhat of a tragic way. She really helped me navigate that with her skills and knowledge. So I'm so excited to be bringing her onto the podcast to share from her own experience, as well as her technical knowledge, how best to support women going through transitions.
Fantastic. We'll take it away. Let's get started.
Well, Anasuya, I thought we might start with your own story of transition. Would you mind kicking us off with that?
Sure. I'd be happy to. And well, what happened for me is that I was a holistic health practitioner, still am, and I had been teaching a class called Acupressure for Menopause, as well as Women's Health Studies at the Acupressure Institute. And so I really specialized in supporting women in the aging process, going through their perimenopause and menopausal times, in order to teach. You know, when you teach something, you have to really study, you become a student.
Right.
And so I learned so much, and it just added to everything I had already learned, so that when I went through my own perimenopause and menopausal changes, I felt in that transition, I was doing pretty well. I knew so many things about nutrition and acupressure and body work and mindset to keep me balanced. I was like, okay, I'm doing pretty well. And I was so grateful that I knew that information. But then I hit another big challenge. And what seemed to me completely out of the blue, my husband said to me, I'm having an affair with somebody else. And I was completely devastated, shocked, and floored. And I didn't like the midlife process then. The other woman was much younger than I. And I just went through this kind of dark time. Mm-hmm. And I had to really reach into my inner strength, and I had to reach out to other wise women for support. And I did discover that being in midlife was actually a really powerful time when I came out of that experience. When I felt, in the end, I felt more vibrant. I felt more dynamic. I felt more true to myself. And in the end, I even felt sexier than I had when I was young and wrinkle-free. So I just have really learned that there can be a time in transition where it can feel just terrible. But the self-care piece is so important to being able to come out of it with the kind of like the learning from it so that you can be even better in your next chapter.
Right. It's like I've heard it said in different contexts that these are situations that sometimes, even as painful as they are, we do come out better than we were had we not gone through them because of all that it adds on to us in terms of our strength and confidence and abilities and knowledge and wisdom. And I know, though, that it's quite a journey going through. When I'm working with clients, they come and they have questions about how they are going to manage financially going forward. And what I've experienced, though, the body is obviously under stress. And can you talk a little bit about what's going on biochemically with people when we're under stress and how it impacts our ability to hear well and process well and make good decisions?
Sure. Our nervous system and our hormonal system are designed so that if we encounter a danger, we can respond quickly. We can run away really faster than ever under stress, or we can fight, or we can just meet that challenge. It's like we produce hormones that create that fight or flight response. And our bodies respond exactly the same with the exact same hormones, whether we are walking out on the street, spaced out, and suddenly realize that this huge truck is, you know, 20 feet away so that we can quickly jump out of the way. The exact same hormones are in play when we're facing a divorce or facing the sudden loss of a spouse or a career change. Those same hormones come into play. And so I think that, you know, what's really helpful is to, you know, understand that physiology, understand that we're always going to have these stress responses, and stress in itself is not bad. But what is really hard on the body that creates all kinds of health issues is unrelenting stress, mm-hmm. where there's no time where those hormones have a chance to go back down, that we have a chance to rebalance ourselves mentally and physically. And that's when we get into things like it creates digestive disturbances, it creates high blood sugar, which could lead to diabetes, it creates bone loss, creates brain fog, and changes in the way our immune system functions.
So all of this, it's as if our brain, what happens naturally or reflexively, the brain, like you said, it does the same thing, whether a Bengal tiger's jumping up at us, or a car just made a turn in front of us, or we're just under stress in our life day to day. The brain reacts the same. Do I have that right?
Right. And I would say like the hormonal system is like that hormone cortisol and epinephrine. They are the same hormones in either situation.
Mm. And so the challenge is when we have this ongoing situation of transition, it can create this ongoing heightened release of those chemicals in our bodies that then can create other physical challenges as well. Do I have that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And so what are things that we can do? I know what you've shared with me that was really helpful, and I'd love for you to share more about how can we interact with, you know, sort of stop that cycle from being in that heightened sense all the time? How do we best support ourselves if that's going on?
Well, let me just say first what a sort of a natural tendency is, and then say some of maybe the healthier responses. Right, because right. It's so normal to eat more comfort foods or not eat at all. It's normal to drink more alcohol or do things that might be unhealthy habits that just make us feel better at the moment, like having that chocolate that giant chocolate chip cookie, you know, feels really good for the first 3 minutes. And, you know, when you're under a lot of stress, you know, you just like, God, anything to get that shift away from that. And so it's really normal to eat more unhealthy foods and drink more alcohol and have a unhealthy habits at that time. And so I really believe in having a lot of compassion for ourselves around that. Obviously, when we do that, we exacerbate the problem, because let's say if we're indulging in a lot of sugar, then that exacerbates the feeling of the blood sugar going up and then the blood sugar crashing, which also sets off a stress response. And so your body sees those big amounts of sugar, the necessity to detoxify all that alcohol, we'll see those things as a stressor too. So reality, you may feel a little stress relief, but you're really adding to the stress. So what really helps is, even if we cannot stop all the stress, is to make sure that we have breaks. And, you know, we do need to eat. And when we eat, it's important to eat from a relaxed place.
So I know that feeling. It's like, I'm still back on the chocolate chip cookie because it's so easy to just say, okay, I need a break from this, that, or the other. And there's so many options for eating food. So when you're using the example of the chocolate chip cookie, what are the types of, you know, it's obviously sweets is a go-to food, and you mentioned alcohol. Are there any other things besides, you know, sweets and alcohol and eating those types of foods? Any other types of behaviors that you see where it feels good in the moment, but it really is undermining? It doesn't help one sort of move forward. It'll keep one in that cycle of heightened stress. For example, I'm thinking of staying at work and doing a lot of work and trying to keep being productive at work long beyond the time when one really needs to take a break. But it's hard to take a break. In my own experience, it was hard taking a break because then you're more confronted by their reality. You know, I would go home and there was no husband there. And so in some ways it was easier to be at the office where there's people around and things going on than to do what was really better for me, which you encouraged me to do and were very supportive of, taking those breaks and going through the emotions rather than trying to avoid them.
Yeah, it's true. Like, you know, with each individual person, it's going to be a little bit different what their behaviors are. If you're working excessively, like in order to get the company of people and to keep your mind off things, what are some other activities that really are engaging for you that put you in a relaxed state of mind? When I went through my divorce, and I didn't want to go through the divorce, but I had to, and I started to study nature connection and animal tracking, because that completely took my mind off of that. I was fascinated. I've always been like an amateur naturalist, and that really took my mind off of anything. And I do think that hobbies, you know, stamping and scrapbooking were another thing that were easy to do, but took my mind off of everything. So finding company with people of like mind that can do hobbies. And I would just also say, as far as the food thing, like finding the alternatives to the foods that you're drawn to. 2 years ago, I broke up with a boyfriend that I really liked, and I was really sad. So I would come home from work and look forward to having a cocktail, a margarita. And I was like, you know, that really soothed the emotional pain. But I have a nutritionist on my shoulder that says, Anasuya, that is really not a great habit. That's not a sustainable habit. And I understand you're going through a lot of emotional pain. I get it. But let's find another alternative. So what I came up with is that I made a mocktail that was like a margarita sweetened with stevia, which is a natural sweetener that does not raise blood sugar. And I would add to it nutritional powders that have a relaxing effect. Magnesium powder, which actually relaxes the muscles. I had another powder called inositol, which helps the neurotransmitters work better. Neurotransmitters are the chemical communicators of emotion. And then there was a third one that it's called phosphatidylserine, but it actually really helps the brain recover from stress. Mm-hmm. And I had that and I did feel relaxed after it. It did help me prepare for sleep and unwind at the end of the day, not like alcohol, but still in a nice way. And after a month of having that maybe 3, 4, 5 times a week, I did not have that, you know, that uncomfortable feeling that you're uncomfortable in your own skin until you have the chocolate chip cookie or that cocktail or the whatever. It balanced out my neurotransmitters.
Right. And I love what you know, in terms of those things that balance out those cravings, the cravings for something sweet or alcohol or something like that. Can you speak more about the food choices now that I pulled us away a bit from that, but bringing us back to that, because it is something that we're confronted with at minimum of 3 times a day, if not more. And what are some ways to shift? One of the things I really appreciate about how you work with people is that you're very understanding of how challenging it is, that life is stressful even under the best of circumstances. And one doesn't have to completely alter everything because that's stressful in itself. But what do you encourage your clients to do when they're starting to make that shift and aware that they need to move away from the sugars and things like that? How do you help support them?
Well, sugar is a big example. That's just like a common food that causes problems for a lot of people. And so like the first step would be if someone's having a lot of pastries and cakes and cookies made with white sugar, that they could shift to fruit. I mean, they could also shift to like maybe small amounts of really high quality chocolate, which has a little less sugar, which has some nutrients in it. They could also, you know, if they have cookies, buy the kind that are sweetened with coconut sugar, which is a sugar that doesn't have such a strong effect on the blood sugar. So that's like a transitional food. I mean, more ideally is switching to fruit. Slices of apple sprinkled with cinnamon put in a container and taken to work is like a really easy snack. And sometimes we just want that creamy sensation from ice cream. And there's quite a few substitutes for that. For example, like frozen bananas blended together. You can put cacao or chocolate powder in there and make your own chocolate ice cream. It has nutrients in it. It's much healthier for you. Or something like a baked sweet potato with a lot of cinnamon in it can actually feel like really grounding and satiating the way carbohydrates can. But it's a complex carb. It has beta carotenes. It has a lot of nutrients that you need in order to function at your best. So yeah, there's all kinds of healthy substitutes for the stuff that you're really craving. And as you start to have those healthier substitutes and still feel like you're not depriving yourself, you're not driving yourself crazy with restrictions, but you start to notice those cravings are getting weaker and weaker. And then after a while, it's a really freeing feeling to not have those cravings. And it's completely possible to be free of those cravings. And that's like one huge stressor off your plate.
Mm-hmm. No pun intended.
Yes.
The other thing that I know that you speak of a lot is that the role that protein plays. And what is how does one bring in more protein into one's diet, or what's the right amount to have? Can you speak a bit about protein as a focus?
Yes. Well, you know what's interesting about protein? It's made of amino acids, and those amino acids are what your body creates neurotransmitters out of, which help balance your moods, creates your hormones, which for women has such a huge effect on our moods. That feeling of hormonal balance is wonderful. If we don't have a hormonal balance, we have that sort of irritable PMS feeling all the time. So you cannot have hormonal balance or neurotransmitter balance if you don't have adequate protein. And a simple calculation would be generally 1 gram per every kilogram of weight. So take your weight, divide that by 2.2, which gives you the kilograms, and then that is how many grams of protein is a good amount to have per day. And that's a little bit more than maybe the RDA, but when you're under stress, you are using a lot more hormones, you're using a lot more neurotransmitters. You're not like in an average state, you're in a state that demands more. And so that means having protein at breakfast. You can get protein at breakfast by things like eggs or chicken sausage with lots of vegetables, or you can have a protein smoothie, a whey protein powder, pea protein powder. There's very many different kinds of protein powders. And I do think smoothies are very handy when you're under stress because they're something you can just sip small amounts at a time. And they're really easy to make and transport.
I know it's funny with that. It's just when I was at my most difficult time, and even sometimes in the evenings when I get back home from a long day of work, it's like chewing is just feels like so much work. And so smoothies are really handy for that. How do people avoid having too much sugar in their smoothie with all the fruit and all of that? What do you suggest?
Well, I like to include some vegetables in my smoothie, like some chopped up beets or carrots. You can put them in raw, and then, like, I use a pretty simple blender. It's like a NutriBullet, but there's like different blenders or have different strengths. But even a regular blender is pretty good at chopping up those hard vegetables. You can throw a handful of spinach in there. And I really like a little bit of fresh ginger. So just like, you know, like a pinky finger or thumbnail size piece of ginger. And then that really is not a sweet way. So it's true. You can overdo the fruit. Like if you're putting in a whole banana and a cup of strawberries, that's probably veering towards too much fruit. So you could put in a half banana or a quarter banana or not a banana at all and just use the berries.
Yeah, I do find that a very easy go-to. It's true. And then the protein and other things for protein. So I guess 75 grams, well, oh gosh, I just told you how much I weigh. But in my case, that's what it would be. But with that, it just sounds like so much to me. But is it really that much? I'm always recircling back to that calculation and thinking, goodness, I just don't think I'm getting enough. And I can tell personally when I'm not getting enough, because then my carb craving or my filling up with carb does go up.
Yeah, there's only three macronutrients. So if you're not having enough protein, you're probably increasing your carbohydrates and possibly fats. But usually people turn to carbohydrates when they have less protein. And so 75, let's say an egg has 6 or 7 grams of protein. So if you have 2 eggs at breakfast and you have like half a chicken sausage, you're probably getting a good 20 grams of protein in there. And then if you're making a smoothie, most protein powders have about 20 grams of protein in that. If you have a handful of nuts or seeds, that's another, as a snack, that's like 8 grams of protein. If you have a piece of fish, a piece of salmon or tuna or something like that, I mean, it's pretty easy to get 25 or 30 grams of protein from a 4-ounce serving of fish. And I mean, I think using one of those free online programs can be really helpful, where you just track, you pop in what you're eating, and it shows you exactly how much protein you're getting. Nuts and seeds, beans, legumes, fish, poultry, pork, beef. Nutritional yeast is a booster food that is actually really protein rich. So you can add things to other foods to get more protein. And the feeling that happens when you have more protein is that this more regular sense of your energy being balanced, where you don't have big crashes in the middle of the day and you don't feel as tired. And that feeling that you can meet an obstacle and go, huh, how am I going to solve this? Okay, maybe this is a possibility. Whereas when you are low in protein and you're having these ups and downs of sugar, you meet an obstacle and you're like, darn it, there's this block right here. How am I going to do it? I can't believe this block is here.
Right. I know that when I've had those times exactly like you say, like, oh my goodness, this is just too much. How am I going to deal with this? I know, I'll go get a snack. And it's usually not the best snack for me. I think what will help me is having a nice cookie, and then that will give me the inspiration I need. Whereas when I'm eating in a more balanced way with the protein, like you say, it's like, okay, let me pause for a moment here. And I have much more of a range of options to address, or I'm more comfortable with the fact that a obstacle has come up. So I really appreciate what you've shared with us today. And I think you have a program coming up that is really helpful for people who are interested in looking at their food and their nutrition. Can you share a bit more about that?
Yes, I do an annual group detoxification program, and we meet on Zoom so people can join from anywhere. And it's about really emphasizing healthy eating habits, having more vegetables, less sugar, caffeine, alcohol in the diet, and also considering the possibility of eliminating common food sensitivities, common allergens like gluten and dairy and so on. And so as a group, we slowly take our time to reduce some of the unhealthy things and increase the healthy foods. And we take supportive protein shakes and some supplements that support the detoxification process. And I've always felt like whenever I do these detox programs, that it helps like end a certain chapter in your life and start anew. Like how our body feels gets reflected in our outer life. So if people are interested in that, or in you know, working with me and being in touch with me, the best thing to do is to go to my website. It's www.mybodywisdom.net, M-Y, mybodywisdom.net. And there is a free gift there for you. You can sign up to receive an ebook called Midlife Renewal for Women, which has a lot of these nutritional and self-care tips that we've talked about. And then when you're on, you'll be on my mailing list, and you'll be the first to know about the detox program. And in the fall, I will also do a midlife renewal program for women.
Great, Anasia. I've taken advantage of both of these, and I know that each time too, it's like there's a shift. I remember the first one I did, I no longer had to come into the office and have chocolate immediately upon arrival. That was something that was very much part of my routine, and then it just went away. It wasn't a forced thing, and so I'm really looking forward to another detox with you as well. So you're going to be coming back in 2 weeks, because we have more to talk about in terms of navigating through this process using other tools and resources, and then regaining our equilibrium. So thank you so much, Eric. I will turn it back to you.
This was awesome. I learned a ton, and I love chocolate chip cookies too. That's one of my weak points. And as a grandfather now, I like to make them a lot for the grandkids. And unfortunately, that means there's plenty around for me. So maybe I'll have to change a few things. Thank you guys for your time. This was wonderful.
Well, thank you.
I've
enjoyed it.
You bet. And thank you all for listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thanks again for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.